Father, I pray that you intercede in a mighty way among the people that are in this place today, Father, that will be challenged, encouraged, and maybe wanting to take the responsibility of making the decision not to follow the things of this world, but to follow you, Father. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Praise God. A couple weeks ago, I started this series of messages about faithfulness, because faithfulness, hey, can I get a hug first, man?
Praise God. I'll even give him a kiss.
Oh, wow. Teenagers, man. Oh, okay. Praise God. Thank you, doll. Praise God. Oh, boy. And the last church I was at, and they had three services on Sunday morning. You don't know what that was like, man. By the third service, man, I was on the chandelier. I mean, it was just beautiful. And I remember one time before the third service, back then we had choirs and stuff, and I said, I got to have a hug for my wife. Kathy, where are you at? And she came out from the back, and she gave me a hug. She says, is your mic on? I said, no. She said, don't say man. And speak up. Praise God. So anyway, 3 weeks ago, I started a series about faithfulness because I tell you, I love the word faithfulness and I love being faithful. A couple weeks ago, if you want to turn in your Bibles, this is not on the PowerPoint. This came to me 2:30 in the morning because I had too many cupcakes at Dana's birthday party last night. Oh my gosh, that was those cupcakes. Whew. I was up, but where in the world am I going with that, man? Happy birthday, Dana. I don't really know your middle name, Dana Jordan. Somebody said it was Stella. Somebody said it was Dot. I don't know what your middle name. I don't know. What is it? Wow. Pretty cool. Pretty cool, man. So, oh my gosh. 2 weeks ago, I started this series, and the first thing I wanted to talk about faithfulness was gathering together and coming to church. In Exodus 31:12, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations. Isn't it cool? When you come to church on Sunday morning, it's a sign, man. You're telling God, I love you. God, I want to be a part of my church family. God, I want to come and participate. God, I want to come and pray. God, I want to come and learn. And then last week we talked about faithfulness to the Word. You know, we have this Word given to us. It hasn't changed. It will not change. People have come up with other books and stuff saying it's from God, but that's a bunch of garbage. I don't know what else to say it. You know, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the Psalms, he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Teenagers, listen to this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against me. Well, today, in the third part of this is faithfulness in Christ Jesus. And I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, we've been going through the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, how Paul is pouring into Timothy, and now Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, and guess what? Timothy's the pastor there. I almost called him Timmy. Timothy is the pastor there. In this first chapter, I'm just going to try to get through 14 verses today. It's going to be a lot of teaching, a lot of stuff, but there is going to be a decision made today by someone in here. I don't know who. That's going to say, hey, I'm tired of living by the world. I'm tired of living by the world standards. I'm tired of allowing the culture to tell me how I'm supposed to look and dress and act. But this is such an encouraging chapter. He starts off the verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1. And in fact, the subtitle in the New American Standard Version is The Blessings of Redemption. What a way to start a chapter. What a way to start a book. You can actually walk out of here today understanding what the blessings is of knowing Christ as your Savior. You can walk out of here knowing that today. The word redemption really means deliverance by a payment of a price for our sins. That's redemption. On Sunday morning, you know, every week I'm going to talk about this book because it's blown me away. This is called Recovering Redemption. The first song Amber sang today had the word redemption in it. It's a powerful word, and this is a powerful study. Please come and join us. Praise God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and who are faithful, who are unfaithful in Christ Jesus. 14 verses we're going to look at today. When Paul, he's an apostle of Christ, the word apostle means messenger. It served in his official title for Paul and the 12 disciples. And you're listening, God, I put apostles were those who were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ, of the resurrected Jesus, and were chosen by God to lay the foundation for the church by preaching, by teaching, by writing scripture, accompanied by miracles. Well, how can you say that? Corinthians 12:12, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. Man, I'm praying for a miracle to happen today. I'm praying for a miracle to happen today and in someone's heart, where Jesus literally takes that veil away from your eyes and you understand that you need a Savior. You understand that you need redemption to pay a price for your sins. This letter to the church at Ephesus was written to the saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And this message this morning is for the faithful saints of Community Christian Fellowship. Who is a faithful saint? Saints, those whom God has set apart from sin to Himself, made holy through their faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4, for we, and that's us, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. That's how we're supposed to live our life as Christians. Constantly living over for death for Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what does he mean by death there? And to me, I think it means death to the lust of the flesh, death to the lust of the eyes, death to the pride of life. So we're being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. Why? So that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. The second verse, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. If you study the Bible, that's pretty much how Paul said in every beginning of every letter he wrote, grace to you and peace. It was like a common greeting back then in the early church. And Paul used it in all his letters. He writes, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, from them came the authority of the Scripture, which Paul spoke of. And if you're an English major here, that conjunction, the word and there, indicates the equivalent, meaning that Jesus Christ is equally divine with the Father. And as we look through the rest of these verses, this verses 3 through 14, this passage describes to us today, in Christ and God, His master plan for salvation in three turns. I got three turns for you today. Turn number one is the past. And you'll see this in verses 3 through 6a. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I'm telling you, you're going to be able to walk out of this church today knowing what you have when you have Christ as your Savior. And he starts off by saying he's blessed us with every spiritual blessings. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy, that we would be blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, as to the praise and glorious grace. So you look at that past, he's talking about the past there, he blessed us. His providential grace, God has already given to believers, total blessing. How can I say that? Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things, not some things. God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who called according to whose purpose? Our purpose? His purpose. Look at the scripture there. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for in Him all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made what? Complete. And He is head over all rule and authority. And when I'm talking about spiritual thing, I'm not referring to immaterial blessings as opposed to material ones, but rather to the work of God, who is divine and spiritual source for how many blessings? All of them. So God's superabundant blessings belong to believers who are His children by faith in Christ. So what He has is ours, including His righteousness, His resources, His privilege, His position, His power. Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit Himself, capital S, the Holy Spirit Himself testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed if we suffer with Him, so we also may be glorified with Him. So if you're one of Christ's kids, He blesses you. The next thing we saw in those verses is He chooses us. And the form of that Greek verb behind chose indicates that God not only chooses by Himself, but for Himself to the praise of His glory. God's election, now this is deep, but listen to this. God's election or predestination does not operate apart from or nullify our responsibility to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's very important that you understand that we have to take that step to surrender our lives. We have to take that step to accept Him as our Savior. Matthew 3, the preaching of John the Baptist. Now in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus, from that time in Matthew 4, 17, from the time Jesus began to preach, He said, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there's going to be some people in here, I hope none, that will walk away from here saying, what Jesus said, you're unwilling to come to Me so that you may have life. It's a decision we have to make. From the time we have on this earth here, it's a decision we have to make. Are we going to accept Him as our Lord and Savior? Are we going to repent of our sins? Are we going to ask Him into our heart? When it says before in verse 4, before the foundation of the world. It's a great statement. It means through God's sovereign will, before the creation of the world, and therefore obviously independent of human influence, and apart from any human merit, those who are saved have become eternally united with Christ. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can't be that good to get to heaven. Verse 4, it says, He wrote to the church at Ephesus, holy and without blame before Him. And that describes a purpose and a result of God's choosing those who are to be saved. And you're listening, God, I put unrighteous persons are declared righteous. Unworthy sinners are declared worthy of salvation. Why? All because they are chosen by Him in Christ. And He did that in love. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, but God, great explanation, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So you might be sitting in here today and you're just deep into sin. You're just deep in rebellion against God. And you kind of realize He still loves you. He still wants to have a relationship with you. You still have to make that decision to say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. God, I confess my sins before You. And if we confess our sins, the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You might be sitting here today thinking that something else can save you or someone else can save you other than Christ. You might have walked in here today thinking about what the culture says. Well, there are many ways to get to heaven. There's many people you can follow or things you can follow or hoops you can follow through or earn your way. And it's not true. It's only through Christ. In verse 5, he says, predestine us to adoption as sons. Great fill-in. Human parents, if you think about it, you can bestow on your children love. You can give them resources. You can give them an inheritance as an adopted child, but not their own distinct characteristics. But for somehow, some way, God miraculously gives His own nature to those whom He elected and who have trusted in Christ. And this makes them His children in the image of His designed Son, giving them not just Christ's riches and blessing, but His very nature. We can very have the nature of Christ. John 15:15, how can I say that? No longer do I call you slaves, Jesus said, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So in the three terms, I want to talk to you today about the blessings of God. We have the term one is the past. He blessed us. He chose us. He predestined us as adoption of our sons. And now we talk about the present, which is verses 6, the end is verse 6 through 11. It reads like this, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, capital B, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. That's why we take communion here, as acknowledgement, as to remember that it's through His blood that we get the forgiveness of our trespasses. Verse 8, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of wisdom in there. And if I can just put it down in today's terms, you didn't know Him. He got a hold of your heart. You asked Him to forgive you of your sins, and you became His child. And you become His child. You're adopted. You're inherited. He chose you, and you give Him the glory for us. And in those verses of the present, He freely bestows on us in the Beloved. It's like this divine grace, this undeserved favor that we didn't really earn it, and this undeserved love that we really don't deserve it. But it made it. He made it possible for sinners to be accepted by God through His Son's death, His Son's burial, and His resurrection. And in your listening, God, I put, because we as believers are accepted by Him, then we, like Him, are beloved by God. That's something that gives you hope. That's something that you can get up every day and say, man, I'm one of His kids. He's my Father. He's my Lord and Savior. Lord, what do You want me to do with my relationship with You? And He's going to tell you, walk, man. Walk in wisdom towards them who are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. He's going to bring people in your path, in schools, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, that don't know Christ, that never heard of the saving grace of Christ. And you get that opportunity to share your faith with somebody and tell Him that we've been beloved by God, that He died on the cross for us here. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now all these things are from God. everything I'm sharing with you, all these blessings that I'm telling you today from Ephesians chapter 1, they're all from God. He reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting His trespasses against them, and He had committed to us the word of reconciliation. It's beautiful. And the price of that reconciliation was death. Death. The price of you becoming a child of God is death to yourself and wanting to walk in Him, with Him, through Him. So He gave us the forgiveness of the trespasses, our sins. He lavished on us all the wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will. And how did He do that? According to His kind intention, the Bible says, which He purposed in Him. And in Him we also obtain an inheritance. Beautiful, an inheritance. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, such a good rendition of this, or can coincide with these verses in Ephesus that he wrote to the church in Ephesus. He says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, for by these things He granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world by lust. So you look at that verses and you look at all those things that we have because of Christ. He predestined us according to His purpose. Before the earth was formed, think about it, God sovereignly determined that every elect sinner, no matter however vile, however youthless, however deserving of death, by trusting in Christ, would be made righteous. I don't know how else to say it other than to give you these verses that we really don't deserve it. We really can't earn it. But He loves us that much to call us by name and allow us to understand that He has a will and a purpose for our life. So when God created this world that we live in, He gave it sufficient energy to begin immediately to operate as He planned. And it was not simply ready to function, but it was created functioning. Think about it. As God works out His plan according to the counsel of His will, He energizes every believer with the power necessary for spiritual completion. And where do we get that power from? The promise, Comforter, the Holy Spirit that He promised when He says, I'm going to go and be with the Father and I will give you a Comforter, a Counselor, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you things. He will guide you. When you take the time to open up this Word and feed on it and get into it, it's the Holy Spirit that makes it known to you. Philippians 1, 6, Paul says, for I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Is there anybody in here that wants that today? Is there anybody in here that realizes, man, the life I've been living is really not giving me hope, is really not giving me peace in my life? And I'm hearing these scriptures today, and I realize that this, in the past, that God has blessed us, He has chosen us, He has predestined us to adopt us as His Son. And in the present, He freely bestows upon us in the beloved. He lavishes on us all wisdom and insight. He makes known to us the mystery of His will. That's where the hope comes from. That's where the peace comes from in your life. Now, Ephesians 1, the last three verses, verse 12 through 14. He says, to this end, that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. in Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, and I hope that's why you came here today, to listen to the truth of God's Word, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption, there's that word redemption again, of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. God's glory is the supreme purpose of redemption. Believe after you hear the word. You see that in those verses. That the God revealed gospel of Jesus Christ must be heard. He wrote to the church in Rome, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's why you invite your friends to come to church. That's why you invite your neighbors to come to church, because you want them to hear the gospel. You want them to hear the word, because the word is what cleanses you. And when you hear the word of Christ, you must believe it to it for salvation. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to those He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Is there somebody here today that wants to believe on the name of Christ? Is there somebody that God has appointed this day to come and hear what the gospel is all about? And then He'll seal you with your Holy Spirit. Donna, if you want to get that one video set up, because I think it really coincides with this. God's own Spirit, and you're listening, God, I put, comes to indwell the believer and secures and preserves his final, his internal salvation. And in your, I got homework in your listening, God. You can look up those four primary truths signified by the seal. You can check those scriptures out. The last fill-in, the Holy Spirit is given by God as His pledge of believers' future inheritance of the glory. I thought about this just little story. You think about a calculator. If you're going on a calculator and the wrong buttons are pushed, all you have to do is press clear and you can clear it out and restart. Some people are in situations that they can't unravel. Their lives are so twisted and turned that they can't figure things out. They're too confused. But the great thing about God is that He's ready and waiting to press clear on your life, to take all that stuff away, all those sins away, all that pain, all that sorrow that you've been suffering with, and He's ready to press clear on your life. After the service today, Todd Luce will be at the back table there. There might be some people here today I'm thinking about, man, I've got to get into a community group. I've got to get together around some believers and around some Christians so I can be discipled, so I can learn how to live this Christian life. He'll be back there to show you the community groups we have if you want to be a part of that. The last few weeks we have several people circle, yeah, I want to be a part of community group, and we want to open that up to you today. Can you show that now, Donna? And then we'll do the offering. As a church family, every week we take an offering to give you an opportunity to be a part of the ministry here, to be a part of being blessed by God for sacrificially giving. We also give a time for you to come to the altar so we can pray for you, because there's people every week that come in here struggling. And I'm telling you, the enemy is talking in your ear right now. You're not good enough. God will never forgive you because you've done this and that. And we're here to tell you, in Christ, there's freedom, man. There's freedom in Christ. He's ready to press clear on your life at any time, to set you free from the things that the world has engulfed you with or tempted you with, and you decided to go that route, man. But we talk about the narrow path here, and that's knowing Christ. Let me pray. Father, thank You for Your word, Lord. Thank You for this chapter in Ephesians chapter 1. It can be so encouraging if we read it and just underline the word us in there. How many things that He does for us, His children, Father. So thank you, Lord, that we can go to your word at any time and be encouraged, Father. And Father, I pray today that you would encourage our church family with this offering, Father, that people understand that what they sow, they reap, Father. So Father, I pray that there's a lot of reaping going on here today, Lord, knowing that when we give with a cheerful heart, Father, that you bless it, that you press it down and shake it together, and these things run over our bodies, Lord, like hope and peace and joy and love, Father. I pray for the fruits of the Spirit to be evident in our lives, Father. I pray that we would acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior daily, Father, and that when we fall short, that we understand that we confess our sins. You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, I pray that through this offering, I pray that through this altar call, Lord, that your name would be magnified, that we would understand from generation to generation that when we show up here, it shows how much we love you, that we're showing up here for you. We're showing up here for your blessings. We're showing up here for your wisdom. We're giving, Father, so that you can bless us, Father, and teach us and show us the purpose and will that you have for our lives, Father. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.